As I approach the restaurant, there's a girl down the block walking in my direction. I squint to make her out through the January flurries. Average height, brown hair, peacoat. An every girl. That's gotta be her. When I enter Market, the new bar next door to my office, I do a quick once-over of the area near the hostess. Empty. The peacoat girl was definitely Hannah. She'll walk in the door in about 20 seconds. 19. 18. My head starts spinning. When she gets here, do we hug or handshake? Hug is a little familiar for someone I've only met over email, but a handshake is pretty formal for potential buddies meeting for a drink. We did exchange, "I feel like I know you already" emails, and when you know someone, you hug them, right? 11. 10. 9. I don't want to be overzealous in my hugging, though. Definitely don't want to be that girl. What if I lean in for an embrace and she sticks out her hand for the shake? We'll end up in one of those one-arm-around-each-other half-hugs. That already happened to me once this week with a colleague. Yikes. She's here. We make eye contact. Rachel? Hannah? She goes right in for the hug. I reciprocate. Flawlessly, I might add. There's no sign I spent the last half minute rehearsing this in my mind. Let's back up. My inaugural girl date and I exchanged our first email 2 months ago. She came to me via my best friend, Sarah. Actually, we should back up a bit further. 5 years, to be exact. After I graduated college, I moved home to New York and Matt moved to Philadelphia for law school. About a month into his Villanova stint, he broke up with me. I know now this is the natural course of events for post-grad long-distance relationships. Most of the women I know who married their college sweethearts went through the same thing. But at the time, I was devastated. I was quite sure Matt was out of my life forever, and I was furious with myself for wasting years on him. I was lonely and frustrated and decided I needed a new social outlet to distract me. I started a book club. I invited my other best friend, Callie, and Callie invited her cousin, Lauren. Then each of us invited 2 more people. The only requirement was that we bring in ladies the others didn't know. The idea was that if we were strangers, we wouldn't let gossip distract us from the book discussions. For 3 years, 9 of us met every month. Over time, girls moved away and others were invited to replace them. Soon after I moved to Chicago, Hannah was called in as a relief book clubber. After 2 years and 1 bad breakup, she decided to leave Manhattan for Chicago, her hometown. I was elated when Sarah, who also belonged to the book club, emailed to tell me Hannah was moving here. "You guys will be great friends," she wrote. "She has a book club she can invite you into, or she can start a new one with you." Amazing. I'd wanted to be in a book club since I arrived in Chicago, but when I mentioned it to my friend from college, she said, "How about a dinner club?" I once even tried to finagle an invite to a coworker's book group when I overheard her mention the titles they've read. "If you ever need another person, I'd love to join." She looked at me as if I'd asked to join an orgy. I sent Sarah an email shortly before Hannah was due to arrive. "What's her email address? I want to grab her as my BFF ASAP. When I next checked my Gmail, I had 2 responses from Sarah. The first had Hannah's email address. The second said, "Oops, didn't mean to CC her. I guess the ice is broken." Sarah is the smartest girl I know, but her fleeting moments of idiocy are made worse by the fact that she has no idea she's just been a huge idiot. After she typed Hannah's name in the "to" field to get her email address, she left it there. She thought nothing of the slight oversight, CCing her again on the "oops." She just forwarded my first potential girl date an email in which I laid claim to her as my best friend forever. We'd never even met. Sarah is as low-key as I am overexcited, so it all seemed peachy keen to her. I was mortified. Despite our memorable introduction, we'll laugh about it one day. Hannah wasn't scared off by the declaration of my intentions. We decided to meet for drinks. So, here we are. Hannah and I settle into our seats, order 2 glasses of wine, and start chatting. When she starts to ask if I'm hungry, I shout, "Yes!" before she finishes the question. I eat when I'm nervous. The conversation is off to a comfortable start. We each explain how we're connected to the other book club girls, which leads to a wider cast name game. "Oh, you went to Trip Lake? You must know Jill. You're from Glencoe? Do you know the Bernsteins?" We come from similar upper-middle-class suburban worlds. We know plenty of people in common. Hannah grew up 40 minutes outside the city. It becomes clear, as she tells me about her recent move, that she already has plenty of friends in town. So you know a ton of people in Chicago? I'm not happy where this is going. Yeah, about a million. A pause, and then I hear myself saying, I wish you didn't have so many friends. That was weird. Did I just say that? That's not what I meant. Well, it is what I meant, but I didn't mean to say it out loud. At least I caught myself before saying, how many exactly? That's what I really want to know. It may sound like the question of a crazy, jealous stalker, but it's actually a logical inquiry. A person can only maintain so many social contacts. Facebook may trick us into thinking we have 500 friends, but research shows there's a saturation point for actual interpersonal relationships.